You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Monday, September 29th. Oregon is suing the Trump administration over its move to send federal troops to Portland. OPB's Tiffany Kamhai reports.
Oregon officials learned that President Trump authorized federal troops to be sent to Portland at 9:32 on Sunday morning. And less than 6 hours later, the state attorney general filed a lawsuit against the federal action. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek says no military intervention is needed in the city.
This is not necessary, and I believe it's unlawful, and it will make Oregonians less safe.
The suit says deploying troops to Portland is federal overreach. Oregon leaders are seeking a temporary restraining order as soon as possible to halt the deployment. Kotek says she has no other information on the mission of the federal troops or when they might arrive. I'm Tiffany Kamhai reporting.
Oregon state senators are scheduled to vote on a contentious transportation funding bill today. Dirk Vanderhart reports.
Democrats have been trying to pass Governor Tina Kotek's bill since late August, but it hasn't been a smooth ride. While the House okayed the proposal on September 1st, the Senate has been forced to delay a vote repeatedly. Democrats in that chamber have been counting on Gresham Democrat Chris Gorsuch to help pass the bill, but Gorsuch was hospitalized with complications following surgery. Senate leaders are hopeful he'll be well enough to attend a floor session Monday. Kotek's proposal would hike gas taxes by 6 cents, raise vehicle registration and titling fees, increase costs for drivers of EVs and hybrids, and more. Democrats say the new money is necessary to avoid major cuts at the Oregon Department of Transportation and keep roads safe. Republicans have panned the bill as an unfair tax hit to Oregonians. Monday's expected vote comes as lawmakers are already scheduled in the Capitol for periodic committee hearings. I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
The Springfield Police in the city of Springfield in Lane County, Oregon, have finished installing 24 AI-powered license plate readers. But the department says it won't turn them on until the city has a community conversation about the technology. KLCC's Rebecca Hansen-White reports.
The cameras, created by private company Flock Safety, are a part of a national database that includes other law enforcement agencies. Law enforcement says the camera can help them close more cases by quickly locating suspects. Eugene has been using the system for months, and community members from both cities have raised privacy concerns about Flock. Investigations have also found federal agencies access the system in other states, sometimes without local police's knowledge. Springfield City Council plans to hold a discussion on the cameras later this fall. A map of where they're located is available on the city's website. I'm Rebecca Hansen-White reporting.
The Oregon Nurses Association has condemned President Trump's recent statements advising pregnant women to, quote, avoid Tylenol at all costs, and announcing plans for the Food and Drug Administration to require new warning labels against the use of acetaminophen in pregnancy. Medical professionals say the claims are not supported by scientific evidence and risk undermining public trust in evidence-based care. There is no causal link between acetaminophen use during pregnancy and autism or other neurodevelopment disorders. The Oregon Nurses Association, which represents more than 24,000 nurses and healthcare professionals in the state, says spreading unsubstantiated claims on issues as sensitive as maternal and child health is not good for patients, caregivers, or Oregonians. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com.
The fungus that causes white nose syndrome in bats has been identified in Oregon for the first time. The disease causes hibernating bats to wake up early, which can lead to starvation and death. Bat droppings collected in Clatsop County recently tested positive for the fungus, according to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. Emily Armstrong Buck is the White Nose Syndrome Surveillance Coordinator at ODFW. She says the agency has not found any sick bats yet, but 5 Oregon species could be susceptible to infection.
We do not expect to see any major mortality right away, and we hope to see none, but we're going to be keeping a very close eye.
Buck says the agency will increase its surveillance along Oregon's border with Washington. ODFW recommends cleaning off shoes after visiting caves or other areas with high bat activity to prevent the spread of fungal spores that could sicken bats. An environmental activist in southern Oregon says a new policy excluding the public from federal timber auctions hurts accountability and transparency. Jefferson Public Radio's Roman Battaglia reports.
KS Wild Conservation Director George Sexton has attended dozens of timber auctions in the past. He goes to ensure the Bureau of Land Management follows their own guidelines and bidders know of any ongoing lawsuits. But the BLM is now barring the public from the auctions. On Thursday, Sexton tried and failed to watch an auction for the Take a Chance timber sale in Southwest Oregon, which he says is illegal.
You're excluding interested parties who have an interest in the auction. You're excluding the public and you're excluding the press. That's tyranny, not democracy.
JPR was also not allowed inside the timber auction. A BLM spokesperson did not provide a specific policy and would not say why the policy was changed. KS Wild has filed a new notice with the BLM intending to challenge the logging project that includes the Take a Chance sale. I'm Roman Battaglia in Medford.
A new report ranks states on how climate change might affect your health care. The rankings say Washington, Oregon, and Idaho will fare better than most. NWPB's senior environmental correspondent Courtney Flatt has more.
The new state scorecard was gathered by the Commonwealth Fund. It's a left-of-center foundation that researches healthcare in the U.S. The report looks at how things like extreme heat and poor air quality hurt people's health, and how extreme weather could put places like hospitals and clinics at risk. The scorecard ranks Washington at number 3, Idaho at number 6, and Oregon at number 10. In the Northwest, Oregon faces the most risk from extreme heat. Natural disasters also pose more of a risk to healthcare buildings in Oregon. The researchers say carbon-free energy policies like those in the Northwest are some of the best ways to protect people's health and healthcare infrastructure as the climate changes. I'm Courtney Flatt.
For weather today in the lower Columbia River region, rain this morning, then showers going into the afternoon, highs in the mid to high 60s. A chance of more showers late tonight, otherwise partly cloudy with lows in the low 50s. Tomorrow, rain likely in the morning, then showers going into the afternoon, highs in the mid to high 60s. Showers and possibly a thunderstorm tomorrow night, with lows in the low 50s. On Wednesday, October 1st, our contract with NPR comes to an end, and we'll be moving forward with a revamped news hour in the morning, starting at 7:59, and in the evenings, starting at 4:59. We expect to make use of partner programming for the first half hour of the show. Local and regional news will begin at 8:30 in the morning and 5:30 in the evenings. The Ship Report will air in the morning at 8:49 and in the evening at 5:49. These news hours will air 4 days a week in the morning and the evening, Monday through Thursday. This is all a lot of change, and we want to make sure you are well prepared for it. When the federal rescission bill passed this summer, it clawed back roughly 20% of our yearly budget. NPR is valuable programming. It's also very expensive programming. We're not happy to see it go, but we think we are going to be bringing you something valuable and interesting. We will have more space in our news broadcasts to air more local and regional news and to be more flexible in what we are able to put on the air. If you have comments, questions, concerns, please reach out and send those to feedback@kmun.org. You can also call us at 503-325-0010 during regular business hours. To reach the news department directly, you can email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Thanks for listening today to your community radio station. To catch us on the air, tune in to 91.9 FM. We'll see you tomorrow.